السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and all his companions, to bless his household, to bless every single one of us, to bless all those who have struggled and strived to protect this deen and to practice it and bring it forth to us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant our offspring also steadfastness on this deen as well as us. Ameen. To begin with, I thought the brother was about to deliver my lecture, the length of what he said, mashallah. It sometimes does happen, and just as I entered, I was telling some of the brothers that today's topic is very serious. I don't think we will hear much humor, but he gave me the chance. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah khair. As you've heard, the topic is steadfastness. It is quite a serious topic because as Muslimin, it is one of the most important matters we are taught. I would like to read before you a surah that you all would know off by heart. Concentrate on the meaning.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
What a powerful surah. We read it so many times a day. Do we realize what it is all about? Do you know it is called As-Salah? The surah has a name Al-Fatiha, which means the opening surah. And it has a name As-Salah, the name of the surah. If someone says read surah As-Salah, this is the surah you would read. And did you know that for every verse you read, the Almighty responds every single time you read it, including when we just read it right now? Because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is agreed upon, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I have divided the surah, which is surah al-Fatiha, known as as-salah, between myself and my worshipper, into two parts. When he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, I'm sure you know the meaning of that, I say my worshipper has praised me. When he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, again I say my worshipper has declared a form of my praise, mentioned my qualities, the qualities of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when my worshipper says, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, I say my worshipper has glorified me, majjadani abdi. And then when he says, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship, you alone we ask for help, I say that is between me and my worshipper, and for my worshipper is whatever he asks. So Allah is pleased with the first three verses so much. The fourth one, he says, this is between me and my worshipper, and now I will give him what he wants. What does he want? What do we ask for? The most important prayer ever. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. There is only one dua in the whole surah. The other two verses after that are connected to the explanation of that particular dua. Guide us to the path of steadfastness, which means the straight path. The path of those whom you have favored and not those who have earned your anger, gone astray or earned your anger. And we read that so many times a day and we don't realize I'm actually asking the Almighty for steadfastness on the path So many times a day that I don't even know. If I were to ask you off the cuff, how many times did you read Surah Al-Fatiha today? And let's hope you've been reading your Salah. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know, because you would need to sit and count. Okay, Fajr, this is how many times I read it. Dhuhr, this is how many times I read it. You'd need to do some addition. And yet we don't realize, why am I asking for steadfastness? It brings me straight to the meaning of steadfastness. The word istiqama in the Arabic language translates partly in English as steadfastness, but it has a far deeper meaning, because al-istiqama refers to everything that should be done being done, and everything that should not be done not being done. That is steadfastness. Amazing. That means everything Islam has come with, if I adopt it, then I am a steadfast person. And this is why one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very serious, and he tells his companions, shayyabatni Hud, the surah of Hud. There is a surah called Surah Hud in the Quran. It has made me gray. Now, for your information, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have more than 20 gray hairs when he passed away. They were black. When he passed away, he did not have more than 20 gray hairs. Anas ibn Malik says, we counted 14 gray hairs. Allahu Akbar. Beard and head included. So let's say, in one narration it says, less than 20. So for him to have grayed, and he is saying, something has made me gray. What was the verse? Imagine, he was the highest of creation. He was the closest to the Almighty. And he is the chosen one. He is the Nabi, the messenger sent to all of us. He came with the message. We know that he had such a good reputation amongst the kuffar of Quraysh prior to coming with the message. And yet, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطُغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Be steadfast, O Muhammad, as you have been instructed, and those who have repented with you. Be steadfast and do not go beyond the limits, for indeed He, Allah, knows exactly what you are doing. Allahu Akbar. Imagine if you had to tell someone, hey, be steadfast. They would tell you, what, did I do something wrong? Today when we correct our children, it happens. You tell them, son, make sure you don't drop the glass. Dad, have I ever dropped a glass? I remember, see, we thought there would be no laughter, but it came. Mashallah. I think it's Malaysia, something about the people. They say there was a dad, every time he told his son to do something, he would say, son, come here, take this milk from here to the lounge and serve all the visitors. But hang on, one smack. And then he sends his son. The son says, dad, every time you smack me before you send me, he says, what's the point of smacking you after the milk is gone? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So here you have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being warned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did he need the warning? The answer is no. So what do we learn from that? My beloved brothers and sisters, don't feel bad when you are warned, when you are corrected. Don't feel bad. The most perfect of creation did not feel bad when he was corrected, when he was admonished, when he was warned. He never felt bad. That is how you develop. If a person feels bad when they are told what is right and wrong, they will never develop. Someone says, you know what, I attended lecture, but to be honest with you, it really hit home too much at me. I cannot attend another one because I was embarrassed. We are all in the same boat, my beloved brother. We are in one ship, my beloved sister. Notice I said boat when it was a brother, because it's a bit smaller and more cramped. We wouldn't like to be cramped up with the sisters, mashallah. So, don't worry. We all hear things. We all need the example. I have a habit. We are taught that as a speaker, when you are speaking, add yourself to say, I need this more than anybody else, and then everyone else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me steadfastness, and then everyone else. Ameen. So look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started looking into his life. What is it? Subhanallah. Let me rectify whatever it is. And it made him gray. He was worried. I don't want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah told him, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Don't even incline towards those who are oppressors, because then the fire will get to you. Who is being addressed? The fire will get to you. What a warning. And to who? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. So steadfastness, what we would require to achieve it is to listen, to understand, to take advice, to take warnings, and really to try and ponder within our own lives. And inshallah this evening, I will go through some of these pointers, as I said, for myself and yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. Ameen. If you take a look at the hadith, one man came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu. This hadith is narrated in Sahih Muslim, where he says, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, when we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are sending blessings upon the Messenger. And Allah says, as a result, you earn 10 blessings upon yourselves from Allah. So we'd rather say it, alhamdulillah. He says, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me something in Islam that I will never have to ask anyone about it after you. Something. Now he was expecting something short and concise, precise, and at the same time effective, which is relevant all through his life. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? Ya Rasulallah, kulli fil Islam qawlan. He says, O Messenger, tell me regarding Islam something that I won't have to ask anyone after you about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim. The hadith is over. He says, say, I believe in the Almighty, I believe in Allah, and then be steadfast. Finished, it's over. How beautiful is that? So now let's take a look at steadfastness and what it entails. Firstly, we need to realize that steadfastness is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whomsoever He wishes. He makes it easier for some and more difficult for some, depending on many factors. Mostly to do with the sincerity and clarity of the heart, and mostly to do with the intention within to search for the truth and to follow it. So when you are looking for the truth, and when you are struggling and striving to find the right path, Allah will open your doors of guidance. Listen to the verse. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who struggle and strive to get closer to us, to come and tread on our path, meaning the straight sirat, the straight path, those who are struggling and striving to walk on that path, to come onto that path, to tread the path that lead to us, we will open the doors of guidance for them. We will open the doors of guidance for them. How many of us are ready to struggle? To struggle to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us. So we know that hidayah and guidance is in the hands of Allah. You try and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried with one of his uncles, and he was so desperate to get that uncle to revert to Islam or to convert to Islam. And he says, Ya Ammi, O my uncle. And this uncle was a man who had helped Islam and protected the Messenger from the enemies and their plot. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Ammi, قُلْ كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oh my uncle, I just want you to utter one statement. If you utter that statement, I will fight your battle on the Day of Judgment. Just utter the statement. What was the statement? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And again, because the people of Quraysh were around, and he was looking at them, and he felt that now it's my deathbed, and I am dying, I'm one of the leaders here. What will they say about me after I die? Imagine how shaitan turns people away from that siratul mustaqim. Remember, mustaqim and istiqamah are taken from the same root. So that path of steadfastness, shaitan diverts us from that path by making us think about what people are going to say. So steadfastness will never be achieved by someone who's worried about others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to worry about him. And really, may Allah make us from those whom when we are steadfast, it attracts others to be steadfast. Ameen. So the uncle says, look, I can't say that. One word I can't say. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his uncle die, and the word was not uttered, and he was saddened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses,
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ.
You will not guide whomsoever you wish, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We guide whomsoever we wish. And indeed, it is Allah who knows who are the rightly guided, who deserve the guidance. Now one might ask, well, what about those who have been doomed from the very beginning? My beloved brothers and sisters, Allah knows their qualities and Allah knows their deeds. And as we said moments ago, when we want to get up for Salatul Fajr, we will be able to. You want steadfastness, you struggle and strive for it, it will happen. If you set your clock for 8 o'clock, how do you expect to get Hidayah when you know that what you are doing is wrong? When you set it 3 clocks, one at 5, one at 6, and the other one at 7. Nowadays, sunrise here is approximately just around 7:30. At least you will be able to fulfill your salah. Tell your folks to get you up. This is the straight path. We want to tread on it. Tell your folks, you know what? If I were to catch a flight, can I give you a real example? If I were to catch a flight to Langkawi, I'd get up very early. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Very early. MashaAllah. But I might be catching my flight to the life after death at the same time. And I haven't got up. May Allah protect us. Do you see? Is it not a reality? I had some young men come to me and tell me, pray for my father. He's passed away. I said, may Allah grant him Jannah. They said, no, pray for him more. I said, well, that's the best dua you could have. So they told me something very sad. They said, this man, may Allah grant him Jannah and forgiveness. This man led a life. He led a life that outwardly very pious. He died in the company of prostitutes with beer bottles in his hands at a far off destination. Allah protect us. Imagine how the children were broken and torn to pieces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let us die at the moment of sin. May He have mercy on us. And may He cover our shortcomings and may He forgive us. Believe me, Allah says in the Quran, and we've heard a few talks. I was surprised when I heard this is the second talk because I've delivered a lot. If that's two, then I don't know. Perhaps I'm counting wrong. Allahu Akbar, mashallah.
أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ.
Has the time not come? Has the time not come for the believers to soften their hearts towards the truth and to turn towards the truth, to tread on that straight path? Has the time not come? What are you waiting for? Do you want to commit another 2 years of sin? What if your death is in 2 months' time? Do you want to live until you are 50 before you turn? What if you die when you are 40? What guarantee do you have that you are going to walk out of this hole? I heard the security announcements. Did you hear it? I almost memorized it. I was shocked. First time hearing security announcements at a talk. Allahu Akbar. Don't worry, we're safe, inshallah. We're safe. Obviously, it is standard procedure, but just, I said it for a laugh. Allahu Akbar. So we have no guarantee what may or may not happen. No guarantee. And for that reason, our best bet, be ready at all times. Be ready at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. We need to realize that when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in istighfar and tawbah means repentance, and turning to Allah, seeking forgiveness. What is the difference very quickly between istighfar and tawbah? It's interesting that we know. Important. Istighfar is to say, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I have wronged. Ya Allah, I admit the sin. Ya Allah, I will not do it again. Forgive me. That is istighfar. I seek the forgiveness of Allah. And tawbah means to turn, to change your whole life. You return to Allah. So many people, they engage in istighfar, but not in tawbah. And those who engage in tawbah, the istighfar is included. Allahu Akbar. I hope you've understood the difference between the two. So we need to repent and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran,
فَمَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide someone, He says in the Quran, He opens his heart or He makes it easy for him to tread on the path of Islam. MashaAllah. I think that happens sometimes to show that we're just human. MashaAllah. We ask Allah to forgive us. Sometimes it's a sin that we might have committed that results in this, yes. And sometimes we don't even know what it is, but we take it for granted because of our weakness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. May He forgive us and may He grant us a turning point so we turn to Him. Moments ago I said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide someone, what happens? When Allah has written guidance for someone, He makes it easy for them to tread the path of Islam. So it becomes simple for them to read their salah, to stop lying, to stop deceiving and cheating, to stop backbiting, and to engage, perhaps to dress correctly and so on. Becomes simple. And if guidance is not written for someone, or if they are not really keen on being guided, it becomes so tough to do that. It's a big mission. If you look at the globe around us, so many people are engaging in so much ibadah. Why is it that we are missing out? Do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us such that we have to come across people who are more righteous than us in life? What's the reason? One of the reasons is for us to take a page from their lives. If they are human beings, they have five fingers, they cough just like I did. And we should know that I am as human, I also may cough. MashaAllah, look how I'm covering myself. I may also have the same weaknesses that they have. I have the same mind, if I may put it that way. I've been given the eyes or the nose, and everything is quite similar in terms of organs. I've got a brain and so on. Why is it that I find myself right on the other side? This is a question we need to ask ourselves every time we see someone trying to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah wants to guide someone, He opens their doors, He makes it easy for them to tread the path. For this reason, the most important dua you could make or I could make is, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide me, Ya Allah, to the straight path. Do not underestimate the value of that prayer. But together with that prayer, you need to do something about it. Imagine we say, I'd like to earn so much money. And then we sit at home and we relax and we're sleeping, unemployed. Will you earn the money? The answer is no. Well, some of you might be a bit wise and tell me, yes, we do it on our telephones via the internet, you know. We buy and sell. Yesterday I was sitting with a group of friends who were telling me how easy it is to buy and sell on the net, mashallah. The brother is laughing, mashallah. Yes, it's true. In the same way we bring that so close to us and we are so worried about it, let's worry about the business of the Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Can I lead you to a business that will save you from punishment? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in Allah and the Messenger and struggle and strive in the path of the Almighty. When we say struggling and striving with our wealth, with ourselves, it includes the struggle to be steadfast on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to know this. And this is why I said moments ago that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us something known as tawbah as a gift. As a gift. Imagine if there was no tawbah. No repentance. You've done something, that's it. You pay for it later on. No forgiveness at all. We would be doomed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His forgiveness. And may He make us from those who earn His paradise through His mercy. I was reading a hadith today of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he tells his people, none of you, and this hadith is muttafaq alayhi, it is an authentic narration, none of you will enter paradise through your deeds. Imagine, hey, that sounds a little bit tough. None of you will enter paradise through your deeds, but you will enter paradise through the mercy of the Almighty. Allahu Akbar. So we ask Allah for His mercy. And the hadith continues. In fact, another narration makes mention of how we should be aiming at what is ideal, although none of us will actually get there, because we are human. We should be aiming at what is ideal. We won't get there. So how do we help ourselves? By asking Allah's forgiveness and turning to Him. And thereafter, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru Allah dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila.
O you who believe, remember Allah abundantly. Remember Him at all times. Sometimes we have reduced the term dhikr to sitting with a little counter, you know, a tasbih, and we just say, Astaghfirullah, or Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. And we say, that is the dhikr of Allah. That is only but a part of it. That is only but a part of it. More importantly, think of what you are saying. Think of the meaning of every statement. And more importantly, be conscious of your Maker. That is called the dhikr of Allah. You remember Him. You remember Him. You think of Him. Look what Allah says.
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ.
Those who have engaged in immorality or they have oppressed themselves. Here adultery is included and other sins are included. Those who have engaged in immorality or they have oppressed themselves. The moment they remember and engage in istighfar, Allah says, we forgive them. So the term dhakarullah is used. That doesn't mean they engage in adultery or in immorality and suddenly they sit and start saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah. No. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they remember they have to return to Him. That is also known as dhikrullah. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am reminded of Him at all times. And that, what will it do for us? The same verse tells us, those people who have repented from whatever sins they've committed, if they come onto the path and continue on it, they are the ones who deserve paradise. Subhanallah. Amazing. So never lose hope in paradise. No matter what you've done, shaitan comes to us in order to swerve us from the straight path. Listen to what Allah says in the Quran.
وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا.
Those who follow the paths of immorality, what do they want? They want us to be diverted, a complete diversion from that straight path. And Allah says, the shaitan is primarily the one who wants that to happen. So he makes us lose hope. And this is why we always say, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember He is close to us. So much so that He says in the Quran, a very clear, short verse,
فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ.
Remember me and I will remember you. Allahu Akbar. Imagine today to get an appointment with a very top shot today. It's difficult. It's not easy unless you are a top shot as well. I don't know the feminine of shot. It's not shotess, but it might be. You won't get an appointment in a rush. But for Allah, your Maker, you just remember Him, He remembers you immediately. He remember, what a privilege, what an honor. I just need to sit and consider my Maker. Praise Him, declare, oh my Maker, look at the hands You've given me. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Look at what you, look at the health You've given me. Ya Allah, I might have one or two difficulties. There are others who are suffering with so many diseases, with cancer and arthritis and so many other diseases, AIDS or what have you. Ya Allah, grant them cure. All those who are suffering, we remember them today. Ya Allah, grant them cure and shifa. The sicknesses we may have, Ya Allah, cure us from these sicknesses. And at the same time we say, oh our Maker, those sicknesses we do not know about that we might be holding, Grant us cure from them in a way that we may never even know that we ever had them until we get to you. Allahu Akbar. That's not far for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the types of du'as we should be making. Think deep. Sometimes when we have health, the first thing we think about is sinning. The first thing we think about is how to transgress against the commands of Allah. Sometimes that happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful verse in the Quran, telling us, you call out to me. At any time, I am so close to you. So close. I'm sure we know the verse. Or we've heard it in the past.
وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ
Amazing verse. The power of the Quran is hair-raising, to say the least. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my worshippers ask you about me, tell them, I am very, very near, very close. I answer the call of every caller positively. Every time he calls, so let them call out to me. And let them believe in me. I will respond to them. Allahu Akbar. These are the verses of the Quran. And this is what the Quran is full of. We have so much hope. We will gain steadfastness when we remember Allah, when we are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we take account of our own selves. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha, O you who believe, be conscious of your maker. The term taqwa Allah, it has a broad meaning. Some people say, fear Allah. That's included in there, but it has a broader meaning than that. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani makes mention in one of his books, Fath al-Bari, which is a commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari. He says, تقوى الله أن تجعل بينك وبين عذاب الله وقاية بامتثال أوامره واجتناب نواهيه. The term تقوى الله, تقوى means to create a barrier between you and the punishment of Allah by engaging in the commands and abstaining from the prohibitions. What a beautiful meaning of taqwa. I normally like to use the term, be conscious of your maker. Because if you are conscious of Allah at all times, automatically you won't do things that are wrong. And if you happen to slip a little bit, you will immediately get up and throw that banana peel away. Allahu Akbar. Whatever caused you to slip will be gone. And Allah says, O you who believe, be conscious of your maker. And each one of you should look into what you have prepared for tomorrow. What have you prepared in your books? What have you prepared in your deeds? What have you prepared in your accounts to present to your maker when you are going to meet him tomorrow? What a powerful verse. Allah is telling us, look at your book. What we do today, shaitan makes us look at the books of others. Immediately, we worried about that one, this one. You see, that one did this, and this person committed that sin, and that one is rotten in the heart, and we start passing judgment, you know, the hearts of the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us and protect us from this. That is shaitan diverting us from this path of steadfastness. Steadfastness cannot be achieved when you are engaged in the life of someone else. Cheating, deceiving, backbiting, slandering, gossiping and so on. Allahu Akbar. Gossip is a sin. لا يدخل الجنة قتات. There is a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, also muttafaq alayh, which means it is agreed upon. It's an authentic narration. The one who gossips has no place in paradise. Hey, Allah forgive us. That my beloved mothers and sisters, brothers and fathers who are seated here, let us seek forgiveness. Before, we used to know that women gossip. Today, the men have mastered it. They've mastered it. They will put the women to shame. It has happened. You sit with someone, we're busy talking about someone. And gossip means just to want to know anything and everything about anyone and everyone. Why is it so bad in Islam? Because it diverts you from attending to your own weaknesses. It diverts you from doing something constructive. What have you got to do with them? Carry on with your business. Don't worry about them. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Imagine if gossip is so bad. What about slander? What about backbiting? And yet, that is a norm sometimes in our lives. This is why we say, my beloved brothers and sisters, and again I'm pressing a red button. You see someone who does not appear so religious, you cannot rule that this person is not religious, because they might be more particular about these items that are hidden than sometimes those who appear to be the most religious. So remember, all of us are struggling on one path. As I am trying, I know every one of you is trying to achieve the pleasure of your Maker. I know that. We all know that. No, we would not be here if we didn't want to achieve the pleasure of our Maker. So good news, when you see someone attending a talk, remember we are in one boat, as I said moments ago. Never pass a judgment, oh, this person you see, and how they were dressed, oh, someone else came dressed this way. That's got nothing to do with us. They might have a heart made of gold, whilst ours is charcoal. Allahu Akbar. For your information, after some time, charcoal can turn into diamonds. That's a reality, it's a geographic reality. Find out. I come from Zimbabwe, mashallah. We've discovered a lot of diamonds there recently. If I could, I would have brought a bag and shared it with you. But inshallah, what I'm sharing with you is far more valuable than any diamond. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that worry about yourself. Concern with yourself firstly. Then your children, your family members. And when you're delivering the message to others, deliver it to them. Don't be so critical as to turn them away from the path. If that was the case, look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a stage when the majority, if not almost all of the people, were very far from the path. They were astray. They were non-Muslims. They did bad things. They engaged in shirk. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He mixed with them. He spoke to them. He conveyed the message to them. They were astray. Today we're taught, hey, you know what? This person's slightly astray. They're Muslim. They say the Shahada, but they're slightly astray. They're a little bit warped. Stay far from them. Go. When are they going to hear what is right if we have to stay so far from them? When are the non-Muslims going to hear what is right? We can mix with them in business. I know certain groups of people call one another kuffar, although they are Muslimin. So when you greet them, assalamu alaikum, they just ignore you and they turn away. But when you walk into their shop, the business, they greet you, assalamu alaikum. Why? Because I've got the money, mashallah. For business purposes, you are suddenly a Muslim, mashallah. Your money is a Muslim. Allah protect us. How can that be? If we are ready to greet them for purposes of dunya and wealth, the deen is more important. We should deliver that much quicker than we do deliver anything else. What did I say about the diamonds moments ago? So this is why when delivering the message to others, it's important for us to know that we do so in a respectable manner. Respect one and all. Be humble, down to earth. Don't give the wrong impression to people that you are haughty. A long time ago, and I'm saying this from my own experience when I was a young boy, you find people used to get up and yell at you as though they are the popes and you all are going to hell. And you know what? If you're lucky, you might just slip into heaven by mistake. That's how we felt at one stage. If that's the case, you chase people away from religion. You chase people away from their Maker. Don't make people feel hopeless. Show them the goodness in them. There is a diamond which might be covered with a little bit of soot, but help them shine there. Show them the diamond in them. Tell them how much Allah loves them and what is required to achieve the love of Allah even greater. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us all. These are just some pointers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. There is another very interesting point that we need to learn. If you want to be steadfast on the path, you need to surrender to the decree of Allah. You need to surrender to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. What this means, it is explained in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, "Al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabba ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if." He says, a strong believer is far more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than one who is weak. And this is strong in every sense. You try and keep yourself physically fit, number one. You have stronger belief, conviction in Allah. You are far more loved by Allah than the one who is weak. This is why, my sisters, don't go on a quick diet. You need to be strong, mashallah. We said the other day, you need to have, mashallah, the milk, dairy products also at times in balance. And you need to have the red meats in balance sometimes, unless obviously you've already had your quota, as I've said in the past. For those of you who don't know, let me quickly mention, sometimes the doctor tells you red meat is bad, don't have it. We can modify the statement slightly to Islamize it, to tell you, if red meat, if the animal was slaughtered properly according to the halal way, the meat is not bad, but the way you ate it in the past was so bad that now for you, you won't have to eat much more. Or your quota is up. How much you were meant to eat, you've already walloped it, mashallah. No more space for that. So to say meat is bad, I think needs modification. That's not what is bad, the way we eat it is bad. Chocolates are not bad, mashallah, but sometimes the way we eat them, bad. The same way milk is a gift of Allah. Don't say any food is bad. No food is bad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal. But sometimes for us, the way we've eaten other things or those particular items is what renders that particular item not good for us. So the hadith continues to say, وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيْرٍ. There is goodness in both parties. You see, someone who's weak might feel, oh, I'm not loved by Allah. So Allah, the hadith continues to say, no, don't worry. Although the one who is more solid in his belief, and even physically and in all other ways, is more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the one who is weak physically, as well as in terms of iman. Someone's iman is weak. Every little thing, they are questioning Allah. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Well, do you know that in Islam, we are meant to believe. We cannot call ourselves Muslims until we believe that good and bad fate is from the Almighty. So the hadith says, "Fi kullin khayr." There is goodness in all of them. Then it continues, and this is the point I'm making. "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk, wasta'in billahi wa la ta'jaz." وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٍ لَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ أَوْ بَابَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Try your best. Strive to achieve that which is beneficial for you. Strive to achieve that which is beneficial for you. That means do whatever Allah has placed in your capacity to achieve what you want. Then, if anything happens to you otherwise, surrender it to Allah. Don't say, if I did this, that wouldn't have happened. If I did that, that wouldn't have happened. If I did this, this wouldn't have happened, or that would have happened. The hadith says, because the word if opens the doors of the devil. Sometimes, before you get married, mashallah, you have a choice. 5 people, wow, okay. So you start making a selection. I hope it's not inky, pinky, ponky. Because that's not how it works. You're supposed to have an istikhara. You ask people, you have discussions with people, you find out, you ask Allah's guidance, you see, you make dua to Allah, you make a decision. Once you make a decision, you find it turns out to be not exactly what you wanted. Don't start saying, oh no, you know, if I married that guy, look how happily married he is. He's got 5 children now, he's so happy, look at how he takes his wife out. That is the door of the devil. Close your eyes, be happy with what you have and say, Alhamdulillah, thank Allah, and let's go for it. If he's oppressing you, you can do something about it. If not, Alhamdulillah. You thank Allah, it might not be as rosy as everyone else. There might come a time when their roses are depleted, just when yours begin to blossom. It might come. May Allah open our hearts. The reason I say this, many people lose steadfastness. Because they want to complain to Allah about their condition. Ya Allah, I haven't got any money here. What's the problem? I had a business deal, I was let down. Allah says, I know that's best for you. Thank Allah and surrender to it. But there's one condition to that. Have you done what was in your capacity to achieve what you wanted to? If you haven't, then you also share the blame. Like a man who says, here is my car. I gave this example the other day. Here is my car. Allah will protect it. I surrender to decree. I'll just leave it open and carry on. Well, you were a fool. You had to lock it first. اِعْقِلْهَا ثُمَّ تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You have your camel, you tie it first, and then you say, may Allah look after it. Ya Allah, we leave this in your safety. We entrust it to you, Ya Allah. So this is what is meant by this hadith. Do whatever is in your capacity. Then surrender to the decree of Allah. Whatever is in your capacity. You've built a house, awesome, mashallah. You put the best roof there, mashallah. When the rains came, the roof fell down. Not your fault. You put the best. That was in the hands of Allah. Surrender to the decree, be happy. We have rains right now as I'm speaking in Zimbabwe. We have rains, quite heavy. And there's one portion that leaks a little bit. And when I see it, wallahi, I won't lie to you, I actually smile to myself and I get happy. Ya Allah, you gave us a leaking roof, mashallah. You know? Get upset and do what? Get embarrassed and do what? Take your time, repair it at your earliest convenience, smile at your family, enjoy the water in the bucket, splash it at one another and make a romantic scene out of it. It's possible. But we become the same thing, we become depressed. It's leaking. I told you, you've got to repair that. The last season as well, you waited for the... For what? Just peek and start flicking, mashallah. See how it changes, alhamdulillah. That's the decree of Allah. What could I do? We put in everything properly. This is what we mean when we say, you can convert something that appears to be so negative into positivity just by surrendering to the decree of Allah and looking at the positives. We tend to be very negative people sometimes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to try to fulfill all the regulations and the duties, one by one. The most important, and then those which might not be as important, and you know there are certain things that are farad, which means compulsory, wajib. We need to do them, necessary. Then you have certain things which are voluntary and so on. These are some of the items that we need to understand. There is no point in engaging in that which is completely voluntary when we haven't even done that which is compulsory of the same nature. What do I mean when I say of the same nature? Say salah. A person is reading sunnah and nafil. The time the farad starts, he's walking out. Was there any point? The answer is no. A person gives all voluntary charities. The time comes to calculate his zakah and he says, well, I've given a lot already. No, that was compulsory. Zakah, you're not doing a favor to the Almighty or to anyone else. You're actually giving out what you owe. It's not even yours. You owe it. Whatever you've given excess, over and above that, that is now something that you can say, I've given out a charity. And the more we give, the more we engage in all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the easier it becomes for us to do that. Try it. If you read your salah, promise Allah now that I will not miss one salah from today. Believe me, if you have made that promise and approximately 40 days have passed, approximately 40 days, some more, some a bit less, and so on. If those days have passed and you are still steadfast on all five salah, the likelihood of you doing it without even feeling the burden is very great. You won't feel it because you're used to it. But the first few times it's going to be hard to get up in the morning. It's going to be hard to, you know, bathe or make wudu and so on. This is why we say, when you constantly engage in goodness and good deeds, it becomes easier for you to engage in those deeds and to remain steadfast on the path. This is how you achieve steadfastness. Initially, there will be a lot of sacrifice, a lot of perseverance, forbearance, what we call sabr. Some people think sabr is only patience. No, it has a much broader meaning than just patience. You need to be perseverant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors one after the other. I'd like to go into some of the points that I've made a note of that will keep us steadfast. One is to achieve steadfastness, and one is to remain on the path of steadfastness. So if we are heading in another direction, and then Allah has granted us the ability to steer clear of all evil and to come onto the highway, the Sharia or the Siratul Mustaqim, once we are on it, we need to preserve it. How do we preserve it? Firstly, by being sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, searching for that example, looking for it and trying your best to follow it. So whatever we do must be for the sake of Allah. Let's not do it for a show. Some people want to be, you know, showing people show-offs. The show-offs, they don't get a reward. They might achieve something temporary in this world, but they won't get a reward for it. Sometimes it can lead to having engaged in an act of worship for someone else. You know, like when you have salah, sometimes this happens in the masjid, and sometimes you notice it. And that is actually quite sad. When a person is just reading salah and they're busy looking, you know, and they're not even concentrating, and next thing you see them standing quiet because they notice you there. Quietly. That's very bad. That's very bad. We should be concentrating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Why should it be because this man is here today that now we are? I remember once, and this is true again, there was a man looking in salah. I actually greeted him and he greeted me back. And as I passed, he realized he's in salah, so he shook his head. Who are you saying no to? Me or what? You know? So try it. The next time someone looks at you in salah, just greet them. They will not look again. May Allah open our doors. Grant us steadfastness. So we follow the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do so sincerely. There are verses in the Quran that have already spoken about that. So many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. Even the last few verses of Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever is looking forward to the meeting with their maker, they should do deeds that are acceptable, meaning deeds that are taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they should not associate any partners with the maker, meaning whatever they do, they need to be sincere in it solely for the maker. What a clear verse. Two valid points are made mention of. For any deed to be acceptable by Allah, any act of worship I'm speaking about, to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two rules or two conditions. The first is, it needs to be sincerely for Allah. And the second is, it needs to have been taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very simple rule. And this is repeated in the Quran in so many places. Then we have the protection of salah. The one who protects his salah or her salah will be kept on the straight path by the will of Allah. What does the Quran say? Listen to the opening verses of the 21st part of the Quran. When I say part, I'm talking of 21 out of 30 parts. When we say chapter, sometimes we could be referring to the 114 chapters and it could be meaning one of them. But normally when we say part, we're not referring to the surahs, we're referring to the ajza. So the opening verses of the 21st juz.
أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ.
Read that which has been revealed to you by the Almighty, which means the Quran, and establish your salah. For indeed, the establishment of salah, that salah will protect you from immorality and evil. There is a narration reported in the book known as the book of Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you can be in the condition of wudu, meaning it's part of the hadith, then good news for those who can remain in the condition of wudu as far as possible. What does that mean? What does wudu do for me? Wudu is a very high level of purity. It protects me. It protects me in so many different ways. The minute you've broken your wudu, if you can, and this is not compulsory, it's something that is meritorious, you can make wudu, and you can be in the condition of wudu, it will help you lower your gaze. It will help you, it will protect you from a lot of other things, because you are conscious, it's a very high level of piety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me that. We still have to get to that level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. But if you are reading your 5 salah a day, on time, as soon as the time enters, you're worried about getting it done, believe me, it will protect you from a lot of evil. It will keep you steadfast. Today we're worried about, and I've mentioned this so many times because it's a reality, worried about, at work I don't have a place. I don't have a place to read. Or I'm at work and you know it's going to be embarrassment. Don't worry. No matter what happens, put on your proper Islamic clothing, or Here I'm talking about the sisters. Sometimes even those who might not have got to the level of covering the hair, we encourage you very strongly to say, you know what, you want to please your maker? Let's get to that stage, inshallah. We put something on good, read our salah. See how your doors will open. Believe me, they will. They have to. But don't just say, I've read salah and it's only been a week. I've read salah and now there's nothing happening in my life. Be dedicated. Be dedicated. And fulfill it without saying, when is this assistance going to come? It will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for you. So we have the issue of salah, which is extremely important. Thereafter, we are taught to remind one another regarding that which is good and to warn one another regarding that which is evil, known as al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar.
وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
Let there be from amongst you those who call people towards goodness, enjoining that which is good and forbidding that which is evil. Indeed, those are the ones who are successful. So you want success, call others towards goodness as well, in a beautiful manner. When you are interested in calling people towards Allah, you will be protected to start with. And by the will of Allah, your children will also follow suit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who can remind one another. And this brings us straight to the next point. And that is, musahabat as-salihin. To be in the company of those who are good. To choose good friends. To have good company. Good company is that which when you are going astray, they can remind you, my sister, you are not reading your salah. As close as you are, as close a friend as you are to me, I have seen in the Quran, Allah says, those bosom buddies who were closest, in our language, tightest with one another, shall be the biggest of enemies on the day of Qiyamah. For one reason, they did not remind one another when it came to doing good and to forbidding evil. They did not remind one another, they just let it pass. So they will be enemies. Why didn't you tell me? You knew it, you saw it, you saw me going astray, you saw what I did, you didn't remind me. Today, you remind someone, brother, you know what? This flirtation and this affair that you're having is wrong. Give it up for the sake of Allah. Do you know what they'll tell you? But she's such a nice woman. Well, everyone's nice then. MashaAllah. How can I break her heart? MashaAllah. See me trying to put on that Malaysian accent? How can I break her heart? Yeah? MashaAllah. Don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Discuss it, explain it, and understand you cannot earn the wrath of Allah. The pain may come for a while. You either get up and be a man and do what you have to, or throw it out. Don't be on the fence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. My beloved brothers and sisters, sins that we engage in, that we do not give up, that is what keeps us away from steadfastness. It makes us lose the flavor of our salah. It makes us lose the essence of our iman. It makes us lose the straight path. And it makes us engage in other sins and consider them nothing serious if we've engaged in them. So this is why it's important to have good company, good friends. Then what is also important is knowledge. The more you know, the more you will be able to put into practice. You need to learn, and so do I. Knowledge is such that the old Arabic saying goes, Al-ilmu bahrun la sahila lah. Knowledge is an ocean that has no coast. You keep swimming until the day you die. You keep receiving more, achieving more, learning more, mashallah. Don't ever think, I know enough. The more you learn, the more you will be able to put into practice. Don't be satisfied and try to get to the source of knowledge. When we say the source of knowledge, sometimes some people might tell you, you know what, when you're getting married, you need to do this and you need to do that. I don't know, there is a culture, a tradition in my part of the world, I don't know where they got it from. When A girl is getting married after the nikah and everything happens. So many cultural items happen which are really taken from other religions and we don't even know. Other religions completely. You know, religions that are in contradiction with Islam. But our nikah has been made so simple, we want to complicate it by putting in spices and putting in, you know, that which is going to give us spiritual diarrhea. May Allah protect us. So much comes in and it's all shaken up and, you know, yes, the good food is there, meaning the nikah is done. But together with that, you've added, imagine, you've added so many things in a pot and then you're like, you know, sending it down. Allah protect us. I don't even want to think what might be happening in our bellies. So if you take a look at what happens in the nikahs, a lot of the times, so much more is added. I was saying, back at home, we find some people, now mashallah, people are becoming educated. As we said, you need knowledge to walk on the path. And don't be shy. The world can say, oh, did you go to that marriage? It was over in 10 minutes. Well, what do you want it to have happened? What do you want to have happened there? They don't release the girl. They close the doors. They close the gate. Poor fellow comes home. They say, right, pay up. Who should I pay? What should happen? No. They empty his pockets. They make him suffer and so on. He has to scale the walls to go and get his bride. Nowadays, you have wise cracks. They SMS, if you want me, come out. MashaAllah. They get fed up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Really, it's about time we learn that nikah is actually an act of worship. It's an act of worship. It's something not to be taken lightly. And we need to have them according to the Quran and the Sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because, and this is very important, it is such a sacred union. Our future depends on how we came together. When we've come together wrongly, and on that day, if we have earned the wrath of the Almighty, what do you expect the outcome to be in terms of the children and the resultant offspring and the rest of the years that you are spending? When the day you sowed the seed, you were actually totally naked and you had everything, you know, free for all, so to speak, and it was totally forgotten that this is a religious function and we earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is everyone looking at me? Is it because some of us have already married that way? If that is the case, don't worry, it's not too late. That's the beauty of tawbah. Say, Ya Allah, when we did it wrong. Forgive us, Ya Allah. With our children, we will do it correctly. Ameen. Don't lose hope. There's always, this is the beauty of Islam. You don't even need to confess it to anyone. No one needs to know what happened. You just need to say, Ya Allah, forgive us. We've heard it, it's correct. Yes, we surrender to it. And there is another quality of those who want to remain steadfast. Whenever you hear something correct and valid, that Allah has said and His Messenger has said, just surrender to it. Surrender one time, straight. And even if you are weak and you might not be able to act upon it immediately, at least in your heart you know this is right and I want to get there. Because sometimes we are doing something that is wrong. And then we want to justify it to say, no, I heard someone say that and I heard that person say this. Don't worry. Know what is right. Understand that this is right, instead of engaging in an innovation, normally the person believes that what they're doing is right, and that makes it so bad because there's no hope for them to come back. But when you know that what you're doing is wrong, then there is hope for you to come back onto the path. So slowly but surely, one day it will come. At least even if a person, we have a madrasa back at home, and one day there was a female who came in, and she was not dressed appropriately. She brought her child and said, look, please teach my daughter properly. I do not want her to follow my footsteps. It's a fact. She was crying. She says, you know, life has taken me in another angle. And I would not like that to happen to my daughter. Please take her and teach her this religion properly and let her adopt it. And somehow we managed to get the message across to her after some time to say, you know, one of the primary pillars of that would be for you to lead by example. You would have to, somehow. You need to come up with it. Then we have the issue of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally, a lot of people don't like to hear about this. We need to understand, my beloved brothers and sisters, as much as there is heaven, and as much as we are all going there, ameen, there is also a hell. And we don't want to go there. May Allah protect us from that. And we need to be fearful. We are going to our Maker. This life is temporary. And you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that the life is so temporary, because those rocket scientists have also died. It's true. They've died. Where are they gone? Where is Einstein? Where are all of these people? They're gone. Gone for good. There's now a dispute regarding what he looked like. Allahu Akbar. It's got nothing to do with us. We don't even need to know. In fact, if you look at most of those people, a lot of them had big beards, for your information, besides Einstein. And then the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. In the Quran, Allah has mentioned mercy many more times than He has mentioned His wrath and His punishment and so on. And every time He mentions Jannah or Jahannam, He will mention Jannah as well. Every time He says, be careful of my punishment, He says, hang on, but I'm very merciful as well. So Allah has the balance. Why? Because sometimes when we are too hopeful in His mercy, we end up sinning. And sometimes when we are too fearful of His punishment, we end up losing hope. So to get that balance, we are in the center. We know this and we know that. We are balanced. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Then two more points that I'd like to raise. The first is to protect the tongue and the eyesight. The hadith speaks of the eyesight being like the spear of the spears of the devil. Where you look at something, and sometimes it has an impact immediately in your heart, in your mind, and your spirituality. Especially when it comes to the opposite sex. Especially when it comes to males looking at females. Because you know, you and I know, they are far more quickly attracted to the wrong things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And this is why the believing men are told to lower their gazes. And so are the believing women. But sometimes the men think, you know what, this business of hijab is only for the women. Wallahi, there is a different type of hijab for men. You need to understand your eyesight. Very important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our eyes. May He make us from those really who can look down. And may He make us from those who can respect one another. You see the respect. So the eye is very important. Why do we say this is needed in order to remain steadfast? Because when you have seen something and your eyes have literally pierced straight through, you won't have the flavor in your salah, because as you're reading salah, what happens to your mind? It wanders. When you at night, you are with the most gorgeous wife of yours, but what happens? You're looking in the ceiling, she's wondering what's going on. If there was an image on the ceiling about what you're thinking about, she would have gone a long time ago. We are lucky. Nowadays you have a little projector, a small little, like an eye, project straight. Imagine if that was our thoughts. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Imagine how merciful He has been. He did not do that to us. So lowering the gaze, very important. We don't realize. Don't wish for what others have. Whether it's a vehicle, whether it is wealth, a home, a house. Sometimes people have a cozy home, but they're never satisfied. Why? Because they sit and whole day there's a program. What's it called? A program that shows you the houses and all that. What's it called? Can someone say? I can hear the female voices, but they're a little bit distant, so I don't know. But they are the ones who know. Yeah. Because they sit and watch it whole day. Oh, I need that toaster. I need that kettle. I need that granite top. I need this. So by the time the husband comes back from work, there's a list. Following day, there's a new list. The next day, the list is modified. So we live 20 years, every day we're not satisfied with what we have. Change your kitchen once when Allah gives you the chance to. Use it until you cannot use it anymore. Then you change it again. Or if you really want to do it in the middle, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure you donate everything that is usable in that kitchen to someone underprivileged. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. But if you're going to keep on watching things, you'll never be happy. I don't know if you heard the example I gave a few days back when I said, you have a phone, the latest one, mashallah, the latest Galaxy. I think it's called an S2, if I'm not mistaken, mashallah. The latest Galaxy you have it. It is the best phone I've ever had, mashallah. It's sitting in your hand. And you're enjoying it. And then you see the screen and it says S3 on the screen. You say, oh. Had your eyes not fallen on that screen, this was your dear phone for 20 years. Am I right? There you are. You drive the latest motor vehicle, the latest one, you have it, and you're rolling down the streets of KL, mashallah. And according to you, you just drove it out, there's no later vehicle than this one. And you look, see, what? This is 600, that is 6.5. Oh. Automatically the value of your car dropped. That is ingratitude to Allah. That's what it is. Ingratitude to your maker. Do you know what happens? That attitude seeps into every aspect of our lives after a while. So first it started with your phone, then your laptop, then your room, your bedroom, your linen, your blankets and so on. Then your walls and your interior decor and your chandeliers and your kitchen and your bathroom. And after that, your husband. Yes. And this is why the bathroom scales go up, they don't go down, mashallah, because they become later and later. You say, you weigh 65, well that's bigger than those who weigh 60, you know, which means it's more important. I told you 60 and 6.5. For a vehicle, the 6.5 is more important, isn't it? Let the same be for weight, inshallah. We need to be satisfied. All this is to do with your eyes. You see something, you want it. You haven't seen it, you don't want it. You have nothing to compare with. And you are making good use of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us use technology to spread a good word. And the final point, in fact, before we mention the final point, when we speak about the gaze, we also speak about the tongue and the private parts. The hadith says, مَنْ يَضْمَلْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخِذَيْهِ أَضْمَلْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever can guarantee me the correct use of what lies between his cheeks and what lies between his thighs, I guarantee him paradise. That is one of the most powerful narrations. So we engage in repentance, and from today, guarantee the correct use of the tongue and the private parts. The Prophet, peace be upon him, guarantees us paradise. Guarantee. You can go and claim it. What does this hadith mean? It means those who are in hellfire, mainly for two reasons, because of this or that. Allahu Akbar. May we be from amongst those who are oft turning to Allah, and may He accept our turning. And may we be from amongst those really who understand the beauty of the teachings of Islam. Steadfastness, happiness comes with steadfastness. Those who are steadfast are the ones who are happy. Let's not follow the paths of the devil. And the devil chooses so many different paths to divert us. Here is now the conclusion of tonight's talk. What do I get? I am steadfast, mashallah. Or I'm trying to achieve steadfastness. What is the result of it? The result of it is as follows.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون.
Those who have said that our Rabb is Allah and they have been steadfast thereafter, they have no need to fear or to worry, no sadness or fear will overtake them, and they have no need to be sad at all. For them is paradise. They will dwell therein forever and ever because of the deeds that they engaged in. Here we're speaking of the good deeds. May Allah grant us paradise. Moments ago we said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says no one will go into paradise due to their deeds alone. And now Allah is saying they will go into paradise through their deeds. Is there a contradiction? The answer is no. Let me explain. The fact that Allah knows that you tried your best to engage in those deeds, even though at times our sincerity levels are not absolutely 100%, and our concentration levels are not absolutely 100%, Allah says, the fact that you tried to engage in the deed, and the fact that you tried to be sincere, and the fact that you tried your best to follow the messenger, that's enough. We will, through our mercy, accept whatever broken deeds have come through. Because when we read salah, none of us have 100% concentration. Not one. It's almost impossible. But we try our best. I remember there was an imam back at home when we were very young, and he used to have coins. We were wondering, what's these coins? So they were jingling all the time. You know, there we read 20 raka'at in Taraweeh. So what happens, some of the imams, their concentration is so low they cannot count. So they have 10 coins in the pocket. So after every 2 raka'at, he takes out one coin from here and puts it in there. When there's no more coins, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's all over. That is the concentration in salah. We concentrate through coins. As an imam, what about those behind? I don't think they would even know what's going on. The only attraction is the coin, because when there's coins, everyone is, oh wow, he's rich, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. May He keep us on the path. As I said, we get Jannah in return. But there is something greater than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Obviously, Jannah is the greatest. When I say something greater, I'm talking of immediate. There can be nothing that we will achieve greater than Jannah in the hereafter. But in the dunya, for us to achieve a good life, that is what Allah says. Whoever believes, from male or female, and does good deeds, meaning is steadfast on the path, we will make their life a happy one to start with. Notice the terms. A pure life, a good life, a happy life. Allah didn't say, we will give them what they want. Many of us misunderstand. And we think if Allah is happy with us, He gives us what we want. And if we don't have what we want, that means Allah is upset with us. Sometimes because He loves you so much, He did not give you something. Sometimes because He loves you so much, He inflicted you with some form of calamity. Nobody ever promised that in this world we would get whatever we wanted. Because if that was the case, what was the point of having a paradise a little bit later? When I have everything I want here, we'd want to live forever and ever. We still want to live forever and ever, even though we don't have whatever we want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you want contentment. You want happiness. You want to lead a good life, happy life. Well, we have the solution. Be steadfast on the path. We give it to you here to start with in terms of contentment. Like I told you, and I've just given you a small example, roof leaking, you won't get angry. It's a sign of contentment. May Allah grant us contentment, not only the roof. Roof is minor, but when major issues occur in our life and we say, Ya Allah, do not test us with tests that will be very difficult for us to pass. There are certain things that happen in our lives that are major, major. Believe me, those who go through that type of a test, Allah loves you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves you much, He makes you go through many more tests. Those from amongst you who have lost children in infancy, who have given birth stillborn, those from amongst you who have lost children, believe me, it's a sign of the love of Allah. He's giving you an opportunity to get so close to Him. Embrace that opportunity. Embrace it. It may never come again. That is your paradise. That is it. Those who are terminally ill, that's your paradise. Those who are going through heavy turbulence, that is your paradise. Be steadfast. Don't lose hope. Don't sway. Shaitan might come and make you lose hope. Never. That is your paradise. Paradise does not come cheap. It comes with a payment. And that payment, subhanallah, for some might be a little bit easier than for others. But look at what we said yesterday. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through so much. He lost children. He lost his sons. Allahu Akbar. He lost them one after the other. All of them. He didn't have parents. He had no father when he was born. Some time later he lost his mom. He lost his grandfather. A while later he lost his uncle. Look at that. One after the other. So if you think Allah does not love you because you have lost a child, or you've lost a spouse, or a parent, or a loved one, you're actually totally wrong. Those whom He loves with guaranteed love, much more than myself and yourselves, He has tested them with much more. They were steadfast. In another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the beauty of steadfastness. He says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نزلا من غفور رحيم.
Those who have said that our Rabb is Allah and they have been steadfast on the path, the angels descend upon them telling them, you have no fear, no reason to be fearful or sorrowful. No fear, no sadness, no reason to be fearful or sad, not at all. And we are giving you glad tidings. Before they die, they have been given glad tidings at the point of death that you will be entering paradise, subhanallah. You will be entering paradise completely. Abshiru, meaning we are giving you good news, bil jannah, of paradise. Allati kuntum tu'adun, that which you have been promised. Here you are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in such a way that we die with a smile. And may He make the pangs of death very easy for us. And may He let the best of our deeds be the last of our deeds, so that we can go in His obedience. And may He let us pass away in a condition that He is absolutely pleased with us. Ameen. We also need to add, may He grant us the shahada on our tongues as we go. Ameen. So the angels come down saying, heaven is for you, Jannah is for you. أَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ Then Allah says, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ You who have been steadfast, we want to tell you, we are your protectors in this world and in the Akhirah. We will protect you here and there. We will ensure that you are in order. Why? You ensured that whatever we said was in order. Allahu Akbar. You ensure that what Allah has said is in place. Allah says, we will ensure that when you need it most, we are always there. The Quran says this. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ In this world as well as in the next, we are your protectors. And Allah says, for you in paradise is whatever you wish for, whatever you desire is yours. Just desire it and it's yours. What a great and blessed place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us paradise. Alhamdulillah, this evening I have spoken about some of the pointers on the topic of steadfastness, how to achieve it and how to remain on it. We ask Allah to make it easy for us. And this having been said, really, I'd like to thank one and all, not only for the attendance, but at the same time for making dua for us. And we ask Allah to grant the entire ummah steadfastness and goodness, happiness, contentment. And remember, whatever your dua is, may Allah grant it to you. Everyone has different needs. The Almighty already knows what your needs are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us. I am very, very grateful to the brothers and sisters here of Malaysia, for indeed, we have had so far a beautiful stay, and I've learnt a lot about this beautiful country. And inshallah, I hope and I pray that we can make another trip here very soon. From the moment I landed, I have only seen but goodness. We had some brothers and sisters there to meet us as we landed, Brother Admi and Marcus and so on, mashallah. As we landed, we met them. And they helped us sail straight through everything, subhanallah. As I told you the other day, the feeling, I know what it feels like. Because you just sit, relax, everything is done for you, and next thing you're walking out, mashallah. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this love. It is solely and only based on the religion and on the deen. Nothing else. We love each other only because we share the deen in common, the shahada in common. We are busy struggling and striving on the same path. by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, it is important for us to acknowledge definitely the favor of Allah upon us. And it would be wrong, or it would be incomplete, if we were to say thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without thanking the people who have been a means of us coming here. For your information, I had received an email from one of the sisters here, namely Sister Aisha Hood, mashallah. She sent me an email some time back. She told me we're calling you over. This was probably the 20th, 30th email I received from Malaysia. And amazingly, at that particular juncture, something got into my heart saying, no, I must respond. And so I responded, liaising with Brother Farid from Da'wah Kona, mashallah, who also tirelessly, mashallah, you know, put together quite a bit. And alhamdulillah, this became a reality. We have a very silent brother sitting here, Uncle Mick, mashallah, who's also been part of it with his wife and so on. And all of you, believe me, there are so many people I know in this crowd, quite personally. It's amazing. I feel like I'm at home. And this is why I thought at the end of this talk, it would only be appropriate for me to make mention of some of these people. And I hope and I pray, if I've left out anyone by name, please forgive me. We don't mean that, really. We appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. It's an opportunity that's given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are all used. We are all used as a little tooth on a cog that operates the entire machine that would not move if one tooth is missing. Subhanallah. And I've seen so many of us. We had so many meals out and so on. The brothers and sisters warmly welcomed us. I think it was quite lavish. At some times I even felt, subhanallah, we don't even deserve this type of honor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us on the day of Qiyamah. If He gives that to us on the day of Qiyamah, that is when we will be successful. Let us pray for that success. And until we meet again, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.